Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:34 British Summer Time. Today is September 14th. Well, this has been a rather strong day on European stock markets in particular, but it started out today with a pretty mixed return across the Asian region. The Nikkei was down 1%, the Hang Seng was relatively unchanged, the ASX was down by 1 2/3 of 1%. The A-share market in Shanghai was, I think it formed a key reversal to the upside. A number of Asian markets were down quite heavily. The Indonesian market pulled back by about 2%. The Taiwanese market, the Singapore market, and the Korean markets were all quite a bit weaker, and they're being led lower by their respective banking sectors. That would suggest that the Asian region is catching a little bit of contagion in this period of heightened anxiety. It's also notable that for a number of Asian countries, their respective currencies were quite a bit weaker against the US dollar. That's particularly the case for the Indonesian rupiah, the Korean won, the Taiwan dollar, and the Indonesian rupiah, or sorry, the Indian rupee. So we are seeing that Asian currencies are beginning to take a little bit of selling pressure. That strength in the US dollar has persisted across a number of asset classes. We also see strength in the dollar against the South African rand, against the both the Swedish and the Norwegian currencies. And the US dollar index has popped up out of the 2 to 3 month trading range. It's pushed above its 200-day moving average. It's been a little bit weaker in here today against the euro, and that's by far the largest weighting in the US dollar index. But it continues to sustain the upward break, and a sustained move below the 76 area for the US dollar would really be required to question potential for some additional upside in here. In Europe, the majority of indices were in positive territory. The DAX was stronger by 3%. This period of heightened volatility has seen markets moving by 3 and 4% on a surprisingly regular basis. And today's advance by the DAX is the largest up day since the middle of August, when most markets bounced around the 8th or 9th of August. Follow through tomorrow would certainly be encouraging. A break of the progression of lower highs would be even more encouraging, and that could potentially set off a bout of short covering. All of those things are potential outcomes. What it really needs to do tomorrow is follow through to the upside. The European situation continues to evolve. Tonight, you had both Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy saying that they fully support Greece as a member of the Euro, and indeed of the Eurozone. There's been quite a lot of speculation that Greece is going to default, but the potential outcome of such an event is a virtual unknown. There's no guarantee that even if Greece were to default, that it would have to drop out of the euro, or indeed out of the eurozone entirely, as some people have said. I think that's an extraordinarily unlikely possibility. The likelihood of it actually having to leave the euro is probably down more to politics than just about anything else. But the yield today on the 2 year hit 85%, just about. It weakened a little bit, or the bonds strengthened a bit from that area. But yields on a 2 year at anywhere close to 80% are pricing in an inevitable default type scenario. The ECOFIN meeting on Friday will have Secretary Geithner from the USA sitting in for the first time ever. The USA, of course, is putting pressure on the Europeans to get their act together and try and put a solution in place that will be conclusive. Everything else has been really a delaying tactic. And what is demanded by markets now is a conclusive solution. The euro bonds are by far the most aggressive and not to mention ambitious potential solution, but they're also it's also really the only solution that's likely to work if they want to hold on to the euro, and there's nothing to suggest that they don't want to hold on to the euro. That would mean that Eurobonds backed by the revenue raising capability of the entire Eurozone are a virtual inevitability. They will probably require quite a bit of negotiation. They'll all have to be passed by the legislation to create them will have to be passed by each individual country parliament, and depending on how they're structured, one has to anticipate that they're going to try and structure them so that it doesn't require a treaty change and doesn't require referenda in a number of countries, not least Ireland. And Ireland has got a poor record of passing these types of referendums, at least on the first outing. So that, more than anything else, would be time consuming, and the Eurozone doesn't have the luxury of time in this type of environment. Wall Street today was relatively firm. The Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq were all stronger by over 1%. Mexico was stronger by 2%, and Brazil stronger by about 1 1/3%. Canada by about 0.75%. The demand for the US dollar has helped to support demand for US dollar assets. The Nasdaq has pushed back up above the 2200 level on the Nasdaq 100. That is probably one of the better performances of a major stock market there is. I did a review of the Nasdaq 100 shares in Comment of the Day today, and there are a surprising number of them that continue to remain above their 200-day moving averages. There is an increasingly large number of those shares pushing onto new high ground. When I first started doing major reviews of various categories of shares as markets started to deteriorate, there were only two shares that were actually making new highs in the USA, and that was McDonald's and Southern Corp. Well, that number has increased really quite considerably, and particularly in the Nasdaq over the last couple of days, and potentially out to 2 weeks. One really has to ask the question, where are the problems? A bear could probably give you a list of problems that are as long as his arm. And certainly the Eurozone crisis is right at the top of the list at present. It's the focus or the epicenter of global risk at present. The political situation in the USA is acrimonious. It's become remarkably polarized, and is going to have the physical situation in the USA is going to have to be addressed, hopefully sooner rather than later. But one has to ask where the real epicenter of risk is, and it's almost definitely in Europe. And to what extent would some of the USA's major innovation leaders be affected in the medium to long term by a unruly answer to this Eurozone question? The short term would certainly be prone to volatility, and some of these shares could pull back a bit further. But if this crisis is resolved without a major credit event, then the chances are that some of these leading shares are likely to continue to push on and remain in consistent uptrends. There is a relatively large number of consistent uptrends in three primary sectors in the Nasdaq 100, and those are cloud computing in the innovation le well among the innovation leaders in the healthcare sector, and among wholesalers and food producers, or food retailers more accurately, beverage retailers. And these shares are leveraged to a number of fuller money themes. They are leading at present, And one has to take a moment and consider what that means, because leaders tend to lead in both directions. Leaders lead for a reason. Well, these companies, the reason that is helping to drive them forward is that they have excellent profit growth. They are expanding in their relative markets, and they tend to dominate their respective niches. This has been, or this continues to be, a remarkably volatile, anxious, fear-driven environment. And these companies are outperforming. That's important. Now, this crisis isn't over. These companies could still come out or be come under some selling pressure, but they are likely to be among the first to recover if they haven't already recovered. So these leading NASDAQ shares are certainly worth monitoring from the perspective of the medium to longer term investor. These are important themes that are starting to come through. The dichotomy that we has developed between industrial shares and consumer-driven shares over the last month would also suggest that it is going to be the consumer part of the global economy that is likely to drive the next bull market. There's nobody really talking about the next bull market at present, but Dividend Aristocrats, particularly those leveraged to the growth of the global consumer, exhibit some of the most consistent uptrends out there. And that is certainly something that is worth thinking about. When we look at the commodities sector, the strength of the US dollar, if it continues, is likely to be a headwind. Gold continues to, it's been ranging now above the $1,800 level for a couple of days. It is still quite overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. The size of the moves on an intraday basis are quite large, particularly compared to where prices have been trading only a few years ago. Gold continues to look like it is in a ranging consolidation, allowing the moving average to catch up in a gradual reversion process. We're still bulls over the medium to long term, and it's healthy that gold is unwinding some of its overbought condition. The rest of the commodity complex is still a bit too firm for comfort. And yesterday was a relatively weak day for the grain complex and bean complex. They were all pretty much unchanged in here today, but on a medium-term basis, one would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The copper market is below $4 on that COMEX contract. Previous lows, it's been ranging around that $4 area for much of the last year, and $4 had been the upper side of that big Type 3 top prior to the financial crisis. It's posted two lows around the 380 level in the last year. It's 10 cents off of that area right now. A break below 380 would complete a Type 3 top and would open the door to an additional test of underlying trading. The oil market today was a little bit weaker. West Texas was down $1.69. Brent crude has been over $100 now for more, considerably more time than it was in 2008. That's quite a significant burden. And whereas from an inflationary perspective, the price has been relatively stable for much of the last 6 months, so month on month the prices haven't been going up very much, but wages haven't been going up. When I went to fill up my tank just a couple of days ago, it cost me €90. And particularly for people where they have not only had static wages but have had contracting wages, that is a tax on consumption. So high oil prices are a tax on consumption for just about everybody. They're a headwind to economic growth, and they continue to weigh on the global economy. The strength of the US dollar, particularly against some of those Asian currencies, is a little bit of a worry from the perspective of some of those Asian markets. This, for the Asian dollar index, this could be a scenario like we saw back in 2010, where it pulled back below its 200-day moving average briefly before reasserting its medium-term uptrend. However, for that to be the case, we will need to see an upward dynamic to confirm that support is being found in the region of the 200-day moving average, and until that occurs, I think we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to an additional rally in the US dollar. If the US dollar continues to rally, that is likely to weigh on the commodity complex. That would likely be good news for just about everyone, particularly those in Asia, where food prices in particular take up a disproportionate part of the various CPI measures. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.